That was quite the introduction. Top four. Man, I don't know if I'm moving up or moving down on the list. But either way, it is an honor to be here today. I think we've mentioned already, but let me just be really clear this morning. If you're here today and you're maybe visiting with us or service seems a little different than usual, it's because our lead pastor, Pastor Dennis, is in Iceland right now with the whole group from the church. He's leading a group of adults. They're doing some missions projects in Iceland. And then we also have a whole team of students that are over there as well. So we're missing a large chunk of our people today who are out of the country doing some missions work. And we're excited that they have that opportunity. And I just want to encourage you throughout this week, as you think of them, just say a prayer that obviously they'd have safety, but also that their ministry would be effective, that they'd have some great experiences there, and that God would just change lives as they are there serving. So if you are with us today, that's why things might seem a little bit different out of the ordinary. I'm not normally the one who gets to speak, but it is always an honor when I get to do so. But if you're here today and you're like, man, I'm not really sure what I think of that church, come back next week because it'll get better. I want to challenge you to do that, and we would invite you back once again. So anyway, hey, listen, it is Father's Day. We've talked about that already, and I know we've asked for a show of hands for all the dads and the granddads in the room. We probably even have some great-great-granddads in the room, but you fathers are probably, if you've been a father for a little while, you're kind of familiar with the system. You know that sometimes there's gifts that are given out. We already talked about the fact that we've got a gift for each of you after service. And by the way, that's all Pastor Nick. He did all that himself. So you can tell him thank you afterwards for putting that together for you. But you know, usually on Father's Day, there's some type of gift or exchange or acknowledgement or whatever. And I thought today, kind of in the spirit of Father's Day, we would talk about a gift. And it's a little bit of a bait and switch because it's not a gift that I'm giving you, but it is a gift that is available to you this morning, and it happens to be the greatest gift that you could possibly ever receive. But it's not just for the dads, it's for every single one of us today. And this is something that I've been thinking a lot about lately because this passage that I want to teach through this morning, it has been on my heart for several weeks now, and I've been digging into this and just kind of preparing my heart to receive this gift. But in light of that, I titled my sermon this morning. It's very clever, and hopefully it sticks with you, but it's called A Father's Day Gift for Everyone in the Room Today, whether you're a father or not. Whether you're a man or not, or whether you even want it or not, it is available to you. So that's the title of the message. Hopefully that sticks with you. By show of hands, how many of you like gifts? Okay, most of the hands went up. Most of us like gifts. We like to receive gifts. It's fun to get something, to know that someone was thinking about you, and to know that there is perhaps something within usually a box or a bag or something like that is exciting for you to open and to have as your own. We like gifts, but I think that there are so many layers to gift giving, whether it's you're on the giving or the receiving end. We're gonna talk about that a little bit today, but gifts are a fun part of life. And I think that the older we get in life and the more we mature, if you become a parent someday, this really begins to make sense then. But it's fun to give a gift, and it's fun to also receive a gift in life. And hopefully everybody has been in the in that part of the process of receiving something. But I want to talk about a passage in Ephesians 2 this morning that talks about the greatest gift we could receive. It's Ephesians 2. Verses 8 through 10, and here's what I want us to do, just something a little bit different, so there's some participation this morning. When I was growing up, we would do this often, and I think it's a good practice for us to be in from time to time, and so we're going to put the verse up on the screen this morning, and we're going to read this together, which means you're going to speak out loud. You're going to say something as we are reading together. And we're going to lift our voices and we're going to say the word of God together. So here we go. Ephesians 2, 8 through 10. Read with me. For by grace you have been saved. And this is not your own doing. It's the gift of God, not the result of works, so that no one may boast. Let me just say, first of all, before we go any further, that was terrible. I think some of you might have just tried reading for the first time this morning. But anyway, we're not going to do a reading lesson this morning, so let's move on. It's good to read God's word together. I like to hear us proclaim that together. But again, we're talking about a gift this morning. But before we get to the gift, we have to go back and understand like where this gift comes from. And I love the context of the book of Ephesians. Paul, who is one of the New Testament writers, he was a guy that was saved in his adult years, kind of radically transformed by Jesus, and then devoted his life to going around and planting churches, what we would think of as like the modern day Middle East. He was like the OG church planter, began establishing churches all over the place. He was like that whole, like, we are one church in many locations. That was Paul. He started all that stuff. But Paul planted churches, and then as he would move on to the next place, from time to time, he would write letters just to check in, see how things are going. And the book of Ephesians is a letter that Paul was writing to the church in Ephesus he had planted. And so this letter is a letter that's written to Christians. These are people who have accepted Christ. They're following him. And Paul's just giving some context here, saying, hey, look, just so you know, it's been a while since I've been there, but I want to remind you, this is what we're doing by being Christ followers. So the book of Ephesians is instructions for Christian living, which I think is important for all of us to be reminded on sometimes. This message this morning, maybe a little bit of repetition for some of you. You might feel like you've got this concept down, but it's always, always good to go back and get some reminders. And so when we pick up the text in the second chapter there, we're looking at a portion of scripture where Paul is explaining what it means to receive Christ. So he says, for by grace you have been saved. Again, in chapter 2, verses 8 and 9, he says, for by grace you have been saved through faith. Now look at that phrase with me, and we're gonna keep some scriptures up on the wall this morning for a while, because I really want you to see this and dig into the exact meaning of what we're talking about this morning. It says, for by grace you have been saved. That word grace is very important here, because it really begins to tell us how we became saved. For by grace. And you know, I think a lot of times we want to think of other ways that we can be saved, but scripture's really clear here that it is for by grace that we have been saved. So the first question that we naturally begin to ask is, saved from what? Well, Paul says earlier in that chapter in Ephesians 2, verses 1 through 3, he says, and you were dead in the trespasses and sins in which you once walked, following the course of this world, following the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that is now at work in the sons of disobedience, among whom we all once lived in the passions of our flesh, carrying out the desires of the flesh and the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, like the rest of mankind. Now, Paul he's quite the writer. I don't know if you've read the New Testament much, if you've read some of his letters that he's written, but he's a wordsmith, right? Paul likes to add a lot of flowery language, and he makes it very clear that we are all wretched sinners, okay? Every single one of us, we are sinners saved by grace. And so when we read a passage like this that puts it so colorfully that we were serving the prince of the power of the air, and that we were work that is at work now within us, we see a very colorful description, and some of us would probably step back for a moment and say, that doesn't really sound like my life. That doesn't sound like the way that I live. I don't live such a depraved life. But I think that it's important, and the reason why Paul is teaching us in this way, he's trying to remind us that we are all sinners saved by grace, which is what he says in Romans 3:23. He says, for we have all fallen short of the glory of God. It says, for all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God in Romans 3:23. So every single one of us have been saved from a life apart from Jesus. And praise God for that. I mean, that's not a bad thing to be reminded of how it could have been. But at the same time, sometimes we need that reminder. And so you might be here today, and maybe your background or your testimony is, it's one where you have lived a life that was very far from God. And maybe your life, you can begin to recount all of the things that God has saved you from in your life. Maybe you've got a testimony that looks very much different than a person who maybe was raised in church their whole life and they followed the Lord their whole life, they walked with him. But there's every single one of us, regardless of where you're at, you've lived a very, maybe a life that you needed lots and lots of cleansing. And maybe you're just like, no, I've kind of been with the Lord my whole life. Wherever you're at, every single one of us, it's clear in Scripture that we all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. For by grace you have been saved. We know that it's by God's grace that we are saved, which I want to clarify this just a little bit in this sentence. It says, for by grace you have been saved through faith. So whose grace is it? Whose grace? Who is the one who is extending grace? We have to back up just a little bit more. In Ephesians 2:4-5, he says, before we get to this part, he says, but God, being rich in mercy, how many of you have heard that phrase before? Usually it's old Pentecostal preachers. They say all these things, and then they say, but God. And that's G-O-D-U-H, God. But God, there are so many so many sermons and songs that camp out on that phrase alone. But God, okay, we were terrible, rotten people in need of saving. If you're a father here today, you know that we all start out that way. Okay, you've had a child before. You're a dad. You've been pooped on, peed on, puked on before those kids even know your name. Right? Kids are sinners. And we all were one, okay? So we all need saving, but God, who is what? Can we put that back up there? God, being rich in mercy. And this is kind of like a very disjointed sentence here because Paul says, but God, being rich in mercy. So he's describing God's character right there. God is rich in mercy. And because of his great love with which he loved us, so again, he's continuing to describe God, even when we were dead in our trespasses, long before we knew that we needed saving, long before we even existed here on this earth, made us alive together with Christ. You could look at it this way. If you just read the red text there and take out some of those other things, it says, but God made us alive with Christ. So when we have to, when we ask, what are we saved from and who saves us, we say, God saved us. God is the one that made us alive. God is the one who gave us grace. Because of his great mercy for us, he saved us. For it is, once again, by grace you have been saved. And I think it's important for us to remember this because the text goes on to explain a tendency that we all have. We live in a culture these days where we really like, you know, a lot of people are go-getters. They work hard, they hustle, everybody's got their side hustle. You know, so you work, you do your regular job all the time, and then when you're done with your job, you go to your side job, and when you're done with your side job, you go home and you tell the world on social media about everything that you did that day. We do this all the time, right? Because we want to continue to make our life. We want to make an image of our life. We want to show the world what we are doing and what we have to show for all of our efforts and our strength. We want to show the world our resources. We want to display all of the things that we have and we do. That's just the nature of our culture that we live in today. And so many of us fall into that pattern often that it begins to seep into our relationship with the Lord and the way that we relate to him. Sometimes we forget that by grace we are saved. We forget that but God made us alive in Jesus. And we begin to think that our life is a product of our making. And let me just remind you this morning, like this text says, we are not responsible for our salvation. We can't earn our salvation. We can't produce salvation on our own. We can't produce the spiritual life that comes and that rebirth that comes by accepting Jesus Christ in our own effort. Any more than we can produce our own physical life, we cannot produce that spiritual life. It's by the grace of God that we are saved. How many of you are responsible for your existence here on this planet? Okay, good. No, oh, somebody raised a hand. That's kind of awkward. We are not responsible. I mean, come on, think about it. None of us met with our folks ahead of time like, oh, come on, just like do the thing, you know, here we go. We have no part. We have no part in it. You just arrived here. You didn't choose it. But here you are. And in the same way, you have no ability to earn your own salvation. Verse 9 says this, for by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not of your own doing. It is the gift of God, not a result of works, so that no one can boast. You cannot earn your own salvation. Now, hopefully, if you've been in church for any length of time, this makes sense to you already. Hopefully you've heard a sermon about this before. Hopefully you understand you do not earn your salvation. You don't work toward becoming right in God's eyes because salvation is a gift that is given of the Lord, not a result of works so that no one may boast. We had a team of people here this morning that arrived long before the rest of the crowd did. They got here early to make sure that the building was ready, the coffee was ready, that the doors were open, all of those things. People do all kinds of things here in the morning long before you arrive for service. They serve week after week. Many of them give hours of their week, and they serve here at the church very faithfully. But let me tell you this, not a single one of those people will be in heaven because they earned that position by serving. We want you to serve, and I really believe that your life will be better if you serve here at this church. But your serving here does not earn a place in heaven. That's not how you arrive. We took an offering a little while ago. You had the opportunity to give of your finances. Some of you give, an offering from time to time. You support missions from time to time. Some of you you tithe of your income. So every time you get paid, you give a portion of that back to the church. But let me tell you this. You cannot give your way financially toward earning salvation. Amen. It doesn't work that way. You can't serve your way there. You can't give your way there. Salvation is the gift of God. And Paul's trying to make that clear for us here. So there's a difference in between earning and receiving a gift. And this is something that's kind of difficult for us to really get the concept of. And I think there's so many factors in that. I think that our culture, you know, we're in kind of this culture that reinforces this idea of payment all the time. And so we get the two mixed up a lot of times when we think about earning and paying. One simple way to make it clear, how many of you have a job that you get paid to do? So a lot of us here in this room are paid to do a job. If you go to that job this coming week, and at the end of that week, they give you a paycheck, your boss does not say, hey, look, thank you for working. Here's a gift, right? And if they do say that, what do you say? You did, that's not a gift. I earned that money, right? You earned that paycheck. I work here at the church. I get paid to serve here at the church. The church doesn't gift me a salary. I earn a salary, okay? It's different. You can earn some things and you can gift some things. But sometimes we get the two mixed up. We think, and I think that there's a kind of a reason behind this flawed system, because our minds just naturally go toward earning. We think that we earn our salvation because that's what we do with almost everything else in life. Sometimes as parents, we want to give our kids gifts just because. We've said things before like, hey, mom and I want to give you this just because. You've done a good job with this. You've done this. You've done that. And I think even in that, even as pure as our motivations are, it's the wrong system still. Because we say, in the very phrase that we began, we address the wrong thinking there. We say, because you've done such a good job. So basically the job earned the gift. And we do this all the time. We give a, you know, maybe a spouse or some other loved one a gift, you know, just because we love them. Well, what sort of exchange took place in that exchange of gift giving? I think we get this concept mixed up all of the time. But let me again be clear. You cannot earn salvation at all, whatsoever. There is nothing you can do that could ever pay the price of your salvation. Jesus Christ, through the sacrifice of his life and his resurrection from the dead, earned your salvation. Period. That's where it comes from. It is a gift, Paul says. It's difficult to understand, but it is true. And I think that it's important for us to understand this first, because the text goes on and we have to get this foundational concept first. Our salvation is the gift of God. And on Father's Day, we're all getting gifts of some kind today. This is the greatest gift you can walk out of here today. Whether you're a dad or not, whether you are... it doesn't matter whether this is your first time in church or not. This salvation, this gift of salvation is available to you, to each and every one of us this morning. And a little bit later in the service, I'm going to give you an opportunity. If you've never done this before, I'm going to give you the opportunity to receive the gift of salvation through Jesus. I love the imagery of this next verse, because Paul goes on to say in verse 10, for we are his workmanship. Everybody say that word, workmanship. I love the imagery of the word workmanship. There's several translations kind of put maybe a different word in here. Some say handiwork. That's a great illustration as well. But I think that there's a couple things here in this that are important for us to understand. It says, first of all, in that 10th verse, for we are his. We are his. In order to understand that, we have to back up. And you probably understand where this is going, but all the way to Genesis. Genesis chapter 1, verse 27, it says, so God created human beings in his own image. In the image of God, he created them. God created human beings. We didn't create ourselves. We already talked about that a moment ago. But we are his workmanship. We belong to him. Why? Because he is the creator and we are the created. We did not invent ourselves. He did. So therefore, we are his workmanship. Several years ago, slight backstory. My dad, I was raised by a stepdad who ended up passing away about 10 years ago. He was an amazing dad to me. I enjoyed everything about my upbringing, even though that particular situation added so much complexity to life, trying to figure out the whole concept of blended families and all of the things that come along with that at times. My stepdad was amazing, and he was kind of a jack of all trades. He built houses when he was growing up as a kid and pursued a career in working for a company in St. Louis that was a lot like our KCP&L here, Evergy. but he continued to constantly be doing projects. So he had a tool for everything. In my whole upbringing, I was around some of this stuff, but I was also the youngest of six. And so usually my job when I was around my dad working on a project was, hey, go pick up the trash. You know, he's like, I don't have time to teach you anything, so let's at least keep the place clean. That's probably to this day why I'm a clean freak. I drive my family nuts sometimes, and probably most of you as well. But I picked up a lot of trash and therefore didn't really learn all of the things that dad was doing all the time. And so I went all the way into my adult years without really having any desire to do projects, to learn how to maintain our home, to do just a lot of normal average things that I could have learned from my dad back in the day, but I just didn't. You know, it wasn't something that we spent time on. But when my dad was about to pass away, he was having conversations with each of my siblings, and he knew at that point that he was in his last days, and so he began to tell us what he wanted each of us to have. And at one point, we were having a conversation, he's like, I want you to have my tools when I pass away. And I actually said to him, why? Like, You got a lot of tools out. You got a building full of tools out there. What in the world do you want to give me those things for? And he just said, he's like, I see a gift, and I see some creativity in you, and I think that you could put them to good use. And so when my dad had passed away and my mom was getting rid of the house and moving things on, I moved his tools to our house, and I began to spend time. I spent time just kind of grieving his loss in the garage and just kind of learning these tools, learning what they did, how to use them. And that time for me was amazing, just to begin to get an understanding of how to build something and how to make something. That's why this word workmanship means a lot to me, because the last several years, the last decade of my life, I spent a lot of time making things, and I've kind of progressed in those gifts along the way. And so this morning, bring it back. I brought something super small, which is definitely not the pinnacle of my woodworking abilities, but probably the easiest thing that I could bring up here and just hold easily for all of you. But I began to really fall in love with woodworking. And so I just spent time making a lot of different things. But at one point, and probably a lot of woodworkers do this, when you just have a bunch of cutoffs, little pieces of wood that are not necessarily big or useful for big projects, but just, you know, you don't want to throw them away. You just start carving and refining and doing things with them. And so we needed some utensils in our kitchen. And so I just started going to town on this stack of cutoffs that I had. And now we have a whole bowl full of kitchen utensils that we use all the time. So this is one of those wooden spoons that I made at one point out in the garage. And you know, this was a block of wood. It was just this little chunk, and I remember at the time when I was doing this that I would take a little chunk and I would kind of sketch a shape onto it, and then after that I would begin to cut on it, and after I cut, I would kind of refine that shape a little bit, and I'd sand on it until it was a finished piece that was ready to use. So I had a vision for what this would look like if I were to work on it. And then I did that. And by the time I was done, I had, you know, I basically walked in the kitchen and said to Brittany, here you go. So I presented her this wooden spoon along with several others. But for me, I think this wooden spoon is a little bit different for me than it is for her. I gave this to her. It's hers now. She uses it all the time. We actually used it last night for dinner. And I forgot it at the house this morning and she brought it to me. So thanks, babe. But we use this thing all the time. And every time I pick it up, I begin to think about how special this spoon is to me. Because I'm so intimately familiar with the process of creating it. I made this thing. And as simple and small as it is, I like it. There's something special about this thing to me. I like to look at it and think of ways that I formed different parts of it and kind of brought it to life, really. But I'll tell you this, when Brittany picks up this spoon, she thinks nothing about that process. To her, this is a spoon, right? She's gonna cook a meal with this, and she's cooked many, many meals with this. She's prepared a lot of different things with this. But at the same time, she has a different perspective on this spoon than I do. I delight in this spoon, to be honest. I really love this thing. And it's just not the same for her. I think she's grateful that she owns this. I mean, who wouldn't be? But I think she's grateful to have it, right? I gave this to her, and that's why she's grateful. She received this spoon as a gift, and so she was excited, you know? She is grateful. I'm delighted, okay? It's different because I'm the one that made it. I created it, and no matter what, no matter how many meals she creates with this spoon, she will never be the creator of the spoon. You see the difference there? Our lives are a lot like this. We did not make our life. We did not earn our salvation. Our physical life was the process of creation by an almighty God who loves you, who intimately knows you, who spent time forming you into the person, into the shape, into the individual that he wanted you to be. You are his workmanship. You belong to him. And in the same way that your physical life was formed, he had a plan for salvation and he offered you that gift, that free gift that you did not earn, you did not create, you did not make your salvation. You received your salvation. It's God's gift to you, just like your life is. And I think that we will always have a different perspective, but it's important to go back and to think of what the Lord thinks of us. When he thinks of you, when he thinks of your life, when he thinks of your gifts, what you have to offer this world, he delights in you. I promise you that. His word tells us that we are his. We belong to him. You are his workmanship. You are a product of the making of the Almighty God, the creator of the entire universe. That's you, each and every one of us in this room this morning. And I think from time to time, no matter how old we get, we need to be reminded of that. I mentioned this morning in our meeting, I'm 45 years old now. I probably have lived about half my life. I don't know. I mean, obviously none of us know tomorrow. But I'm that middle-aged guy, right? Kind of that phase of life where you really start to think about what you've accomplished and, you know, where are you going from here? That phase of life where you really stop and think about things. And at this point in my life, I often need that reminder that I am God's workmanship. No matter what I've accomplished up to this point, no matter what direction my future is on, I belong to the Lord, and so do each of you this morning. So because we are his, he gets to determine the purpose of each one of our lives. And what is that purpose? I think a lot of us spend a lot of time and energy trying to figure that out and trying to determine that on our own. There have been so many people throughout history that have worked their entire life to try to establish their own purpose and to figure out what their purpose for being here is. But God gets to determine our purpose because he's the one that created us. He delights in us. He formed us. He has a plan for each and every one of us. I know the will of God, the purpose of our lives, can be a really tricky thing to try to figure out. And I think that sometimes one of the reasons for that is that we really try to overthink what our purpose in this life may be. I think we also, if we're honest with ourselves, sometimes we try to over-spiritualize our purpose. We try to mystify our purpose here on this earth. We try to figure out the most grand and amazing thing that God could call any human ever in existence to do. And we try to make that our own purpose. Sometimes we look at what other people have done and we try to make their purpose our purpose. We try to figure out exactly what the next step is all the time in life. We drive ourselves nuts trying to determine where we are and how we should be acting. But Paul says this in verse 10. He says, "For we are his workmanship created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them." So what are those works? Well, again, I think we really try hard to figure that out. Most of us at some point in life try to determine, okay, God, what is it that you want me to do? What are you calling me to do? I'm gonna go back to the spoon for just a second because I think there's another illustration here that's important for us to think about. I made this thing, and again, I gave it to Brittany. She received it with gratitude. But when I gave it to her, she began to do all kinds of things with it. Some I never even dreamed of. I mean, some meals that I never thought she would create. She's made soups, she's made pastas, she's made stir fry, she's made Indian food, you name it. She's made it with this. She's even spanked our kids with this thing, right? I mean, this spoon has done it all. If you don't have a good spoon, you need one, okay? If for nothing alone, just a, okay? Everybody needs a good spoon. I didn't tell her when I gave her this thing, this is exactly what you do with this thing, and this is the only thing this thing can do. I presented it to her, and she began to create. And when I see her using it in a way that maybe I hadn't envisioned before, I'm not mad at her for that. I'm delighted in what she is able to accomplish. And I think that God views our lives very much the same, outside of sin, of course. But when we begin to walk with the Lord, when we walk in relationship with him and we begin to explore all the possibilities that our gifts that he's given us allow us to do, I think God delights in those things. I don't think he's so hung up on whether you become, you know, a guy who works in finance or a guy who works in security or, you know, maybe a tradesman or maybe a guy who's a plumber. Or maybe a lady who worked for the city her whole life. Or maybe a teacher. I don't think God gets so hung up on all those things. Because he gives us the gifts and then he gives us the freedom to use those gifts. That's why in Colossians 3:23, I think it's so important that we take seriously the words that Paul says here. Colossians 3:23 says, "Whatever you do." Everybody say whatever. Whatever you do outside of sin, here's where Paul should have put one of his little interjections. Work at it with all your heart. whatever you do, work at it with all your heart as working for the Lord, not for human masters. I think God is so fascinated by us. He created us. He delights in us. That he is delighted when he sees us using the gifts that he's given us. And so often we try to figure out exactly what it is. And I think that God in the meantime has said, I just want you to work and to serve. We were created for good works. What are those works? I think it's a lot like this spoon. It could be a variety of things. The Creator, he gifts us this life, and then he gives us salvation so that we can work for him. That work alone does not mean you're in full-time ministry here on this staff at this church. It doesn't mean you have to go to the mission field to be involved in good works, like our team that is overseas. Or it doesn't mean you have to be a vocational missionary. I truly believe that those good works can be a nurse at a school. I think it can be an electrician. I think it can be a transportation manager. I think it can be a whole lot of things. I think it can be a grandpa who's retired. Whatever you do, work at it with all your might. God has prepared good works in advance for us to do. And I think we just need to get busy doing it. We are his workmanship. He loves us. He delights in us. Don't get so hung up on all the details, but let's just get busy serving the Lord. Not trying to earn our salvation, receiving salvation, and then living our lives in a way that pleases and honors the Lord. I think that the Lord is, he's delighted in us enough, and he gives us these gifts that when we put those things to good work, he receives that work as our worship. When we receive that salvation and we really embrace what life with Jesus looks like, the rest is worship. Our work, what we do with our lives, with our hands, with our bodies, it has eternal value. Sometimes we discredit the value of that work. And we forget that God is just delighted in us. But today, I just want to remind you, maybe you're a dad in this place, and maybe you feel like you've really screwed up. Maybe you feel like your family is just not in a good place right now, and it's because of you. Or maybe you're discouraged in some way here in this place, and you feel like you just haven't amounted to enough in life. I just want to encourage you today, number one, with that truth that God created you, he loves you, you are his, he delights in you today. You are his workmanship. That's you, each and every one of you today. No matter your failures, no matter your past, it can be different when you receive salvation and you walk in step with the Lord. So first of all today, maybe you're here and you've never really accepted Christ as your Savior. I assume that in a room this size with this many people, there's somebody here. There's at least one person you've never really given your life to the Lord. If that's you, salvation is available today. And Jesus wants your heart more than anything else today. Maybe some of you today need a fresh start. You've heard all this before. You know that you don't earn your salvation. You know that it's not by good works that you are right with the Lord. You've walked with him in the past, but today, this morning, things are a little rough in your life, if that's you, take advantage of this opportunity this morning to get right with the Lord. Don't let this moment, this day pass you by without submitting to Him, making Him Lord of your life. And third, maybe you're here this morning and you really are struggling to find your purpose or the value. I think you just need to change your perspective and just realize that the Creator of the universe loves you with all your heart, with all of His heart. And when you work, whatever that may be, He delights in what you're doing this morning. Change your perspective. Would you stand with me this morning? I want to give an opportunity for us to respond today. If you are here this morning and you're on our prayer team, I'd like to invite you forward. And then as those people are coming today, I know it's Father's Day, and I just want to remind you that in just a moment, when you are on your way out today, dads, we have a gift for you. But before we get to all that, please don't pass up this opportunity to respond to the things we've talked about this morning. Okay? I want us to take advantage of this time if we can. And so if you're here this morning and you need to get right with the Lord, you've never received salvation, come forward and do that. If you're here this morning and you need to have a restart, you need to kind of get a second chance at this whole thing, I want to invite you forward for that. And if you're here this morning and you feel like you're still just struggling to find your purpose, what it is that God's called you to do, I want to invite you forward just to simply pray with somebody who loves the Lord that can just encourage you in that today. So those are the three specific calls. Of course, we can pray for anything with you this morning if you have a need, but I really want to invite you forward for one of those three things if that's on your heart this morning. So I'm going to pray, and as I pray, if that's you, if you'd like prayer, I'd like for you to step out. This prayer is going to be our dismissal. So at the end of this prayer, when I conclude, you're dismissed if you're not coming forward. But I also want to encourage you, because there will be some people coming this morning for prayer, if you're not going to stick around, then please exit quietly so that we can have our time together here at the altar to pray this morning. So bow your heads with me today. God, we are grateful for the truth of your word this morning. Lord, for the fact that you have created each and every one of us. God, we're thankful that we are saved by grace, not by works. Lord, we're thankful this morning that we belong to you. And God, this morning, we thank you for that. Lord, we receive your salvation and we just offer you our lives. Lord, as your word reminds us to do, Lord, we give you our lives. We give you our hearts. And God, I pray that everything that we do, Lord, that it would just truly be an act of worship to you. God, we receive new life in Jesus today. And God, I pray that you would just help us, Lord, as a result, to live our lives as worship in response to you. We love you. We thank you. God, I pray for blessings on all these families that are here today. Lord, I know it's Father's Day. I'm sure that a lot of people have big plans this morning. I pray that you would bless this day, that people would just have a meaningful time of celebrating and honoring the dads in their lives. And Lord, I also pray that you would just bring us back safely the next time we gather. Lord, that we would truly just continue to live out the mission that you've called us to right here in this place. God, we love you. We thank you. We ask all these things in your name. Amen. If there are people here that want to pray, that need to pray, please come up. Don't pass this opportunity. But for those of you who are on your way out, happy Father's Day. We will see you next time.